Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma therapists, if you've been waiting for the right time to join Trauma Therapist Network membership, this is it. Between now and the end of 2024, you can save up to 50% off of your first month of membership when you submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Join us for live calls every week. Self-care, case consultation, networking, and training are included every month. We have 4 live calls, and we have 3 tiers of membership. If the live calls don't fit your schedule, you can join the Inner Circle, where you can access the library of recordings, or you can do the Listing Plus membership. All the details are at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Hope to see you in the community. Submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 474.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hey, it's Laura Reagan, and this week's episode is a new episode reflecting where I am in my life right now, and you will hear my guest Amber Trejo and I talking about the experience of being therapists with complex trauma who have lost a parent. Both of us lost one of our primary attachment figures in the past year or so. And that's what we talked about. You'll hear us share with a lot of vulnerability about how complex trauma can get activated in the grief process and what we've experienced, and we're relating it to what is common in the experience of healing from developmental trauma when your parents reach the end of their lives. I think that it would have been really helpful for me if I could have heard someone like the two of us talking about this as I was beginning to go through it. And I hope that it will be beneficial for you too. If you're a therapist or someone with developmental trauma, there's a lot of good information in this conversation that we put together with care. This week's episode is part one. Next week, we'll release part two. This week's episode was recorded in January, and next week's episode was recorded in March of 2025. When I'm not grieving and attuning to my own needs or the needs of my clients, I am spending time in circles with other women, building capacity, strength, empowerment to resist and fight back against the corruption, violence, and human rights violations, as well as just the theft of Americans' information, possibly financial information, I don't know. Not trying to spread conspiracies, but what's happening right now is just completely corrupt, and I'm not buying into the chaos. I'm just working with others who care to change what's happening and trying to drown out the noise with joy, creativity, love, connection, the true power of the people. And I hope that you are not directly impacted, although I know so many of us are, and everything that's happening touches me and everyone I know and work with in some way, whether it's like a first degree relationship or someone in our more extended communities and families. So one way or another, it's impacting all of us, and it's pretty serious. So I hope you are finding your inner strength and remembering that there's still beauty, there's still love, there's still joy available. Don't let yourself be fooled by people who want you to give up hope and roll over and just let them do whatever they want to do. So, yeah, I'm tired and I'm grieving and I'm determined and I'm strong and I'm not giving up. And I hope you won't give up. We're stronger together. Don't let fear win.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. And today I am back with my friend and fellow integrative trauma therapist, Amber Trejo, LMFT. Amber, thank you so much for coming back to Therapy Chat today.
Thanks so much for having me back. It was so fun the first time, and I'm glad that I could be back.
Me too. I really enjoy talking with you, and more what the content of yours that I see on Instagram, I'm just like, gosh, I admire so much the way you're able to illustrate for people using your own experience what it's like to be an adult survivor of childhood trauma, parenting, and as a therapist. It's such a gift that you do that and normalize what it feels like to go through that experience and try, instead of trying to make everything seem so perfect.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's hard, but I do feel like the more that I do it, the more it comes a little bit more naturally to think about what I'm feeling and to share that in a way that feels safe for me, that might help other people understand that these feelings are really universal to complex trauma survivors and that they're not alone in the feelings that they're having. So I love that you appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, it's so valuable. It's so valuable because, you know, that our culture is like, I used to have this problem. I healed and now you can too. I'll tell you how, because I'm got it all figured out. And it's like, come on, that's not real.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I always think like I'm not a before and after. I'm like a before and during. And this is my during, you know, and I don't have it all figured out. And so letting people in on that, it is very vulnerable, but it's also so necessary in today's world because you're so right. It's like a transformation Tuesday. I mean, it is Tuesday, transformation Tuesday world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So for anyone who's not familiar with you and your work, will you just give us a little introduction to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm Amber Trejo. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I specialize in complex trauma and CPTSD. And I love, love, love working specifically with parents who have had their own complex childhood trauma and have high ACEs scores and are trying to figure out and learn to navigate all of these things and experiences that come in parenting in different ways than they experience themselves. So that's my niche that I love working with.
It's so beautiful. And by the way, for many years, I have wanted people to understand that one of the reasons why parenting is so hard is because of the ways that you were not parented the way you needed to be, you meaning everyone, because, you know, in past decades, people didn't understand what we do now about trauma and attachment. And you have a program. Tell people what you're offering, because I don't know exactly when it closes, but hopefully this will come out in time for people to join.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I didn't even think about that. I'm like, yeah, I should. That's a good thing to talk about. So my current program is closed. It closed January 7th, but I am going to keep it rolling because I had a really good turnout and I feel like it's something that's really needed. And the program is specifically for moms who experienced complex childhood trauma. And so it's like a parenting course. However, it's mostly about how to navigate those wounds that you're healing from your own childhood, and so that you can then show up as the parent that you need to be for your child. So it's not so heavy on the parenting advice, like you need to do this, you need to do that. I always tell my clients, I am not a parenting expert at all, but I am another complex trauma survivor who's a mom who's had to figure out how to navigate those wounds. And I don't feel like there's enough parenting support out there for moms who've had, and parents in general, who have had complex trauma.
And that there's plenty of parenting courses, but to, you know, address the wounds and not just say, and you have childhood trauma that you need to deal with also. So here's how to respond to your child, but don't get activated or regulated or whatever. Yes. You need to co-regulate. And how? I don't know which way is up.
Exactly.
I can relate to as a parent, you know, when my kids were little, oh my gosh.
Yeah, me too. So that's really what I go through. I go through just a different, what I feel like are the pillars of healing from trauma. And I connect those with how your trauma might show up in your parenting and then things you can do to soothe yourself. So a lot of my course is about, or program, it's also going to be a course, but is about how to soothe yourself when you're feeling the really big emotions, because we really didn't learn that from our parents. So
yeah. And then we can teach our kids, and it's exactly. A beautiful thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes so that people can learn more about, you know, even if they're listening to this a few years from now, like what you have going on right now. And
thank you so much. Yeah. And I'm going to do the program again probably in 2 months. So I'll just start people on a wait list now. Cool. And then I'll take whatever feedback I get, because this was my beta launch from this round, and fix it up and make it even better. So
wonderful. Awesome. I know it's going to help so many people. Thank you for what you do. That's what I keep telling you. You know, on Instagram, I'm like, I love this. Please keep
I love your
it.
Support and encouragement. It helps me so much, because it does feel really vulnerable. Like, I think the post that you had responded to about the grief was a post that I had made, and I felt really, that felt vulnerable to me. Mm. And so I was a little bit like, okay, just go, you know, post it. But it is hard sometimes.
There's that line between, you know, sharing from the wound and sharing from the, you know, the healing that you've experienced within that wounding. And so I think, you know, that's where we are today in what we wanted to talk about, which is, I really wanted to talk, after I saw your post, about what it's like being an adult who experienced childhood trauma when your parents come to the end of their lives. I know from my work that so often people are caught by surprise by the way their trauma kind of bursts open when their parents pass away. Either they didn't know they had this trauma, or they knew and they think that, you know, well, we weren't close, so it won't hurt me when they pass. In fact, it'll be a relief. But, you know, there's a lot of surprises in that process. And I was hoping that through talking about both of our experiences, that can help people kind of understand what's common and what's typical in this type of experience, and feel less alone in what they're going through, and also know when, you know, when they might need more support and they're trying to kind of white knuckle through, they could find more comfort if they were to receive support.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that. And have you shared with your viewers that your dad has passed away recently?
Yes. Yes. So I don't know if everyone who's going to hear this episode is aware, but yes, and this is January. So back in November, just a couple months ago, I lost my dad. And for me, my dad was 84. So it was certainly not unexpected, but, and there was kind of a long, for people who've listened to the podcast for a while, I've talked about how there was a period where I almost lost one of my parents, and then they didn't pass. That was my dad. So I kind of went through a trial run in 2019 when, you know, I mean, we said goodbyes. I would say we said the things that needed to be said to each other. Not all the things. Like, in a way, I think when I thought my dad was dying, I wanted to tell him the vulnerable things about how much I loved him, how much he meant to me. And we shared those things. But, you know, the things that were more the pain points, I didn't bring up. And then when we ended up having 5 more years together, which I'm grateful for, in that time, I wanted to really just be as open and honest with him as I could be
with what I felt he could hear or hold, you know, what he had the capacity for. So I feel like the deepest stuff was really solid, but you know, that doesn't mean that the hurts and the what didn't happen that I needed was just erased. Those are things that I've been working on myself in my own therapy for many years. So, because my dad really was my primary caregiver for a while. And so I don't know what other people think of when they think of their dad, but you know, a lot of dads are like not that involved in their kids' lives, and that's its own thing. But my dad really was. So it was a close relationship, and it was a big, big loss.
Yeah.
And it brought up a lot of my childhood trauma, even though I had been working for years in therapy on those things. So that's partly what I wanted to kind of like talk about, is how I don't know if there's a way to not have it be bringing up your attachment wounds and your trauma wounds, you know, when you lose your parent, because they're an attachment figure.
Absolutely. And I love that you voiced it like that, right? Because as you said it, you're like, even though I've done all of these years of work, right? And something that I see that can be a little bit of a theme in complex trauma survivors, I don't know if you've experienced this, but we kind of want to like find the cheat sheet to our hard feelings, right? Like, because the end goal is really like, if I could just not feel this, wow,
right?
That would be awesome. Like, if I could heal enough to just not feel this, to just be at peace with it and be like, it's okay, everything's fine, and just move about my day, right? Then that would be awesome. And so the way that you named, like, that you were working for years on your healing journey about healing these trauma wounds and these attachment wounds. And the thing that came up for me was abandonment wounds, right? I feel like for me, a large part of my abandonment wounds were triggered when my mom passed away. And I just feel like sometimes learning, and a big piece of this, my grief process was this, is that like just allowing yourself to feel all the pain that comes with it is actually such a big sign of growth, right? Like that there is no cheat sheet, and that like it's okay that you don't feel one kind of way, or if you feel one kind of way, that's okay. If you don't feel what you feel like you should feel, that's okay. Just being able to say like, I'm allowed to feel whatever I feel, no matter how hard I've worked to overcome this, no matter how hard I've worked to heal, right? That like, it's okay for all those feelings to come back up. And of course they will.
Yeah.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things and more. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted training. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go. Therapists, we've all had that moment. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, did I do my notes? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore when you use Therapy Notes. Therapy Notes makes it easy to write your notes, get them done quickly,
but thoroughly. My group practice has used Therapy Notes for 6 years, and everyone always finds it easy to use. But the best thing is, if you do need help, you can call their customer service number and a person answers the phone. And anytime I've ever had to use it, which is maybe 3 times in the past 6 years, my issue has been resolved easily with a cheerful demeanor in 15 minutes or less. So I highly recommend Therapy Notes. And don't forget, go to therapynotes.com and use promo code CHAT to get 2 free months.
That, I know you're right. It's funny because as you were talking, I'm like, well, one of the wounds is that it wasn't really okay to express my feelings.
So exactly. It's like, wow. Say it, yes. Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
that's so true.
And your mom passed away. And that was one reason, you know, you're ahead of me in this journey because it's been a little bit, slightly longer, but not a lot longer. And my automatic thought about your mom passing away, like an assumption would be, you've shared that, you know, there was a complicated relationship between you two. So maybe it's not that bad for you. And I know that, you know, logically and in my heart, I know that just doesn't make sense. But, you know, there's this way of like wanting it not to be so painful, even to empathize with another person and wanting it not to be so painful for them. So can you tell a little bit about like where you are with your journey and when, you know, what was the relationship like for you and your mom?
Yeah. So my mom and I'm trying to like give the Cliff Notes version of this as much as I can. So my mom was a single mom and my dad left when I was 8 years old, and she was and could be very physically and emotionally abusive. She also struggled with alcoholism, and she was married several different times after my dad. So she would always kind of be with the next guy. So she was always out and about, you know, like she wasn't at home very often. So I experienced a lot of abuse and neglect at the same point. As I grew older, well, not really at the same point, but one part of that was as I got into like my early mid 20s, my mom did take responsibility for a lot of the stuff she did. Like she said, I was such a bad mom. You know, I totally didn't show up for you. And so that was always really helpful because just having her take responsibility right off the bat, I felt like that led way to us being able to still have a relationship. But of course, I was still severely traumatized. And before I became a therapist and had my own children, I didn't realize like the depth of not how bad what she did was, but just like kind of how impactful it was, you know, Seeing my own kids, I was just like, what the heck were you thinking? You know what I mean? And so I felt like a lot of having my own children, and this is a large part of what I talk about, already opened up a lot of those wounds. And so one piece about my mom dying, we lived really far apart and she had gotten diagnosed with lung cancer. She smoked cigarettes my whole life and her lung cancer was really slow growing and she decided not to get treatment for it. So she changed a lot about her lifestyle, but she still continued smoking and she tried to give it up a lot of different times. She just never could. So about a year before she got really, really sick, she was pretty much like living her life fine with lung cancer. You know, it was, she didn't have that many symptoms. She was just doing green juices, like trying to eat healthy, all of those different things. But you wouldn't know she had cancer unless she told you. And then she ended up moving to Indiana, close to me and my family. And we kind of reconnected. She was able to show up for my children, and she did show up for my children in ways that she had never shown up for me. So that was really healing for me as well. But I remember right before she got really sick, I had told my sister, you know, like, I just feel really scared. Like, so going back to that trauma piece, right? What we're really used to is like things going well, and then something hits and it all kind of comes falling down. And so that's what I was feeling, like almost like you're coming here. Our relationship's healing. It feels better. There's still some of those old patterns and things like that, but it's not, it's better. It's good. And then she got really, really sick. And then all of the stuff with the cancer started, her cancer had spread all over her body and things like that. And at that same time, my son was in third grade, which was like when some of my most horrific trauma had really started with her. Right. And so many, my dad had left. So at that age, my mom
was, as
soon
as you said third grade, I was like, oh
yeah, my mom was really neglectful at that time. She started drinking so much and things like that. So I was also really like in a little bit of an emotional flashback, having my mom there and then having my son be the same age I was when so much of these really traumatic things happened to me. So it was just really, really complicated. And I felt that the sicker she got, the meaner she got towards me again. Mm. And that was hard. Like, I wanted to be able to show up for her. I wanted to, and I didn't always do it the right way, right? Because I think I had also started sharing more about my trauma on my content creation around this time, like shortly before, which is another piece that makes it really complicated, because my mom never denied that she did the things she did, but she had a really hard time accepting that it was as traumatic as right. I made it out to be, right? It was kind of like, well, you just talk about how you went through so much trauma. And I was like, Mom, I did. And so we had some really good conversations around that. And I was able to explain to my mom what CPTSD was and what was probably happening to her while she was having those reactive moments towards her children. And she was, you know, really like, oh, I didn't know, you know, and so that was helpful. But at the same time, it was also just so complicated and just, I don't know.
It's like that role reversal too, which is very much like what is so common for a child in a single parent home, you know, where they're sort of unconsciously parenting the parent, even if the parent doesn't realize it, the child's like suppressing their own needs for the good of the relationship, which is really their way of trying to get their needs met, obviously.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that. I'm not sure. Did that ever come up with you, with your dad, the role reversal?
I mean, I didn't really think it did, but sometimes now when I look back, I realize that there were a lot of things that I suppressed without him consciously telling me to or directly saying for me to, because I didn't feel that he could handle my emotions. So it was like, you know, a lot of times people think that parentification is something that parents do to the kids by making them meet their needs, you know, and sometimes it is like when a child has to go to the grocery store when they're 4 or 5 years old because the parent is sick or something like that. Like that is more direct. You have to go because I can't do it. But when it's more subtle, like you just can sense, kids can sense what their parents can handle and can't. And sometimes it's inaccurate. But the child is, you know, it's like maybe the parent could handle it, but the child doesn't feel they can. So they are suppressing it anyway, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's really, really confusing.
It is really confusing and it's really common. I love that you named that because I think that a lot of people think it's something parents intentionally do, but a lot of times it's the same thing with regulate, like with our emotions, right? Yeah. Like if our parent always has these really big emotions, like we're naturally going to be like, there's no space for our emotions. Right. And then that's one way that shows up. But you're so
and
right.
We sense with our body too. Like if their body is giving off a vibe of, you know, then our body's like, okay, protect.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so you had mentioned the role reversal for me and my mom. That's the way it always was. So I showed up you know, when she started getting into her alcoholism and stuff, I was always the one showing up as the parent. I was like, someone's got to hold down the freaking fort around here, lady. And like, it's going to be me. So I would be the one calling her, you know, late at night, like, get your ass home, like, and all of those things. So it was interesting, the role reversal, because it really did show up there at the end. And my sister lives here as well. And she was the main one who would go to the rehab every single day to be with my mom and did a lot of the things around her house and things like that that she needed done. So I did hold a firm boundary on that because I had my three kids and I was just like, there's just, I can only show up with what I can show up for. But like, I still felt myself trying to, you know, what I was doing was like not grieving because I knew it would be too much for her. So it was like, I'm going to hold it in. I'm going to be stoic. I'm going to show up. I'm going to try to be there for her. But then I would also be like, I want her to grieve. I want her to let her emotions out. So I would be like, what's your favorite worship song? My mom was a Christian. And I just remember one time in the rehab, she wanted to listen to How Great Thou Art. And Reba McEntire is her favorite singer ever. So we put that on by Reba McEntire and I would brush her hair. And I was like brushing her hair and that was on. And I was just like crying. And I was like, there's no way I couldn't cry, right? And I was just like, this could be this beautiful moment between my mom and me, you know? And I wanted that so bad. And just looking in my mom's eyes, she just was so shut down, you know? Like it was like, there was nothing I could do to like create that moment between us. And she wasn't going to be the person. And that sounds like I feel selfish even saying it because like she was dying, but I was still like her daughter. I guess I just like would hope that she would be like, my baby girl, come here. I love you so much. This is so hard for me too. I'm going to miss you so much. I'm so proud of you. And it just like wasn't happening, you know? And so what I found was just like this deep need to like be able to grieve with my mom. And like our relationship was better. Like I was just like, we can make this sacred. We can make this peaceful. We can make this something that we get to control the narrative on, right? Like
it's almost a do-over of the relational, you know, the connection that we all need and wish for as children.
Yes. And it was still, I was being let down. And so that was the thing that I think was hard. And that's what I think is hard for a lot of complex trauma survivors. And I'm not sure if you feel like this, but like our younger parts, they still really want that. And no matter how much we tell them like, hey, you're not going to get it. Like, hey, it's okay. I'll give it to you. When we're around our parents and something hard is happening, those younger parts like long for that comfort. And so that little Amber inside of me was just like, I want my mommy. Like, I'm terrified. Like, I don't want her to go. Like, I can't live without you, you know? And no matter how much 38 year old Amber like could be like, we're good. I'm like, I've got this under control. I've done all this years of healing work. Like, no, that little Amber was showing up full force, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Amber, for sharing that. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. It's right.
Yeah.
It's right for that young part to want that. And I think that's what, you know, sometimes when we're on a healing path, and I think like we're all on a path and it's either a healing path or we're not conscious of what we need to heal. But we find these parts that hold all this pain and longing and grief and wish for something to be different. We consider them to be like inconvenient or in the way. We just want them to go away and not be there, you know? But that young Amber that wanted that, like she wanted it because she was deserved it. She was entitled to have that experience. And it's really sad that that didn't get to happen. And, you know, but I don't know about you, and maybe this is like wishful thinking, but I do feel like, you know, energetically, there's a way to still sort of have that healing potential be there when even when the person is gone, because It's almost like now they're not limited. That helps me somewhat to when I can, even if it is wishful thinking, so what if it makes me feel better?
That's exactly what I say. Yes. Yes. I love that. Do you feel like you felt your dad since he passed?
Yeah, I really felt him a lot at first. And it's only been just over 2 months, but which is really no time. But it feels like it's gotten more complicated as there's been more distance. It's like when it first happened, I was more really present to the experience that I had just lost him and kind of like connecting with all of the pain and the joy of our relationship, you know, like all of the mix. As time has passed, it's sort of that some part of me is like, well, you know, okay, come on, like move along. There's not, you know, can't be thinking about this all the time. So I try to notice those moments that feel like signs or messages. Sometimes it feels really inaccessible and other times it feels like right there. But when he first passed, I really felt like he was here and I could feel him. So, but I'm not giving myself as much time and space with it now because it's like, I feel like I have to keep, you know, you like life ain't free. You got to keep working.
That's true. Like, yeah.
I mean, you know, I try to give myself like a lot of space being a therapist and being self-employed. I can make my own schedule and I can choose how many clients I'm working with at a given time. So I have a small caseload and I try to give myself enough space for myself that when I'm with my clients, I'm fully with my clients, you know, but there's just parts of me that are like, well, you know, Got to keep going. And I feel like that's also a reliving trauma type of thing too. So
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like I've definitely felt like that. Like after the initial like few days of sobbing and crying, I was just like, okay, like I just don't want to feel this, you know? And then the thing that I wasn't anticipating was like how it would feel on those firsts without her, even if we hadn't spent, you know, every holiday together or every birthday together. Like my first birthday without my mom, you know, it was just like so weird. And like no matter how far away it feels, it's just like it's right there. And I feel like something that I did a lot and that I still do, but I still like, I understand where you're coming from because I feel like I'm like, okay, time's up, you know? And then when I do that, the way that it really shows up is in my other relationships. Like I'm just like shorter. I start getting irritable. And then I'm like, oh, what I'm really feeling right now is sadness. And I haven't allowed myself to process that. And so, and that it's okay to still feel sadness. Like if it comes up, you know, there's no time limit on that. But I feel like something I did a lot, which have you seen the show Shrinking yet?
I watched it a little bit, but I didn't totally get into it. But are you recommending it? Because I'll go back.
I mean, it's funny. Some therapists can be a little like activated by it because the boundaries are so skewed. But
that's what I didn't resonate with. I was like,
yes.
There was one thing in the first few episodes where I was like, you would lose your license if you did that. And that is like not okay. So
yeah,
I need to just lighten up a little bit and pretend it's, you know, not a world of ethics and just watch it for the humor.
Yes. And it is really funny, but it is very like definitely totally unethical and problematic in lots of ways. But one thing that is on there is his friend talks about like kind of like giving yourself 15 minutes, putting on a song that makes you think of that person and just letting yourself grieve as hard as you can or like feel that sadness or maybe even like what you were talking about, like feel that connection to that person, right? Like I would put on a song. So I was doing this before I saw the episode of Shrinking. That was what I would do. Like I would listen to, my mom was like a 90s country person. And I would listen to 90s country and I would just like let myself cry and I would just let myself feel her. And I have always been really intuitive. And because my brother and my sister, like, I haven't gotten like any signs from her, you know? And I was always the scapegoat. I'm like, oh, she's giving them, let me tell you, you know? But I also feel like in those moments where I would give myself that time, whether I was like driving home from work, just like releasing that emotion. And then also taking that time to like connect with my mom and just saying like, I miss you, you know? And I believe that your physical presence isn't here anymore, but like, I know you hear that. And I know you feel that, you know, and taking that time to like connect with her. It's been really, really special and important.
I know we're out of time for now, but I'm so grateful for you sharing that and normalizing the ways of noticing messages or connection or signs of, you know, whatever we want to call it. People have their own beliefs, but it helps me feel better to know that you have a similar experience with that.
Yeah.
Amber, I wish we had more time for now, but for now we don't, but I wish we had more time so we could go more into this. But for now, tell people where they can find your program, course.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Integrative Trauma Therapist. And then you can sign up for my parenting course or program at www.theintegrativetraumatherapist.com.
And I just want to tell everyone who's listening that I looked at your website and there's so much good stuff there too. So you don't even,
yeah, lots
you don't
of
even
stuff.
Know. Yeah. So
yes. Yes.
Amber, thank you so much for sharing and just your open heart. I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. It's really making a difference. So
thank you
very much.
Thank you so much. And thanks for talking with me and sharing some about your grief and your story.
Thank you for wanting to know.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com.
Trauma therapists, if you've been waiting for the right time to join Trauma Therapist Network membership, this is it. Between now and the end of 2024, you can save up to 50% off of your first month of membership when you submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Join us for live calls every week. Self-care, case consultation, networking, and training are included every month. We have 4 live calls, and we have 3 tiers of membership. If the live calls don't fit your schedule, you can join the Inner Circle, where you can access the library of recordings, or you can do the Listing Plus membership. All the details are at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Hope to see you in the community. Submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.